were at the point yesterday where the angels, the two angels who were left, came to Lot's house. They were brought in secretly. His wife, who was a scumbucket, told everybody, "We need salt for visitors." They all came round to molest them, kill them, whatever else they could do with them. Lot said, "No, let's save them. Here, take my two daughters and have a good time." And that's where we left off yesterday. So, they hit the people with blindness, and even blinded, they still, you know, they couldn't give up their desire to do evil. And Lot began to realize that it was time over, that the angels were going to destroy Sodom for their evil. He had prayed, it seems, for them, but the angels said, "Okay, stop. The time has come to get rid of this place." They have already sealed their fate with their announced intention to immorally abuse us, and we're going to save you and your family. Lot had four daughters, two of whom had already married Sodomites. It seems he went to them and said what was happening, and they laughed. And they said, "This is a happy place. You're nuts. There's no way we're going under." And they told Lot, "Get ready." And it says Lot had a hard time. He was trying to figure out, he knew we could take limited stuff, so which were the best diamonds and things to take? And they said he had a really hard time. He hadn't made a decision. And the angel said, "Time's up." He still wanted to hang around and make the selection, but, right? And it says the Malachim rewarded him for he had taken their hands to lead them to his house. They took him by the hand, and they took his wife, and they took the two daughters who were still there, and he moved them away from the city. Because Lot couldn't decide what to take, he took nothing. And Chazal tell us, if you're going to settle in the evil spots for riches, God may decide you get nothing at the end of the day. The Malachim said, "Escape for your life. Be glad that you're alive, right? Forget about anything else. And you've got a command. You are not worthy to look back and see what happens." It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina and 12,000 angels of destruction came upon these five cities to destroy them all in a moment. It says all five cities were situated on one rock, which I would imagine is probably some massive thing like the Prudential Rock and the Commercial. That's all I can think of. The angel stretched out the hand and it all turned over, except for Tsoar. Because Lot was told to go to the mountain, but he said, "Let me stay in Tsoar. It's not there. It hasn't been there that long, and I'm old, and I can't get there."
It's the closest city.
Right, and was it the closest city?
Closest.
Maybe.
He said he couldn't. He didn't have enough energy to run so far. So it's the closest city.
It says that fire and brimstone came down from heaven, destroyed not only the houses, but the vegetation, and it says the earth and air of that region were so polluted that wherever it is, nothing still grows today. That's what the Sefer says. Lot's amazing wife, wanted to look back what happened to her two daughters, right? She saw in some manner the godliness, the Shekhinah that was, right, acting, and she became, as we know, a pillar of salt. This was her punishment for when she ran around telling everybody, you know, we got to get salt for the angel, for guests. It says, if one were to see the pillar of salt, right, that was formerly Lot's wife, they had to make two brachas, Dayan Emes, the truthful judge, and the second one is, blessed be you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who remembers tzaddikim. Presumably, the first one we understand, she got her just reward, and the second one is that in the schus of Avraham Avinu, Lot's and his two daughters were saved. Hashem remembered Avram's righteousness, and that's the only reason why Lot was still alive. Chazal tell us, what can we learn from Lot's fate? It says, if we bother ourselves to walk with wise men, we'll be wise. It'll be good. But when you move into a den together with morons, fools, you're going to come down. And they use the analogy, someone goes into a spice shop, they walk out with a nice smell from the spices. If you decide instead you're going to visit a tannery, when in those days the tannery device was fertilizer, you didn't smell like a petunia, apparently. It says, sticking to Torah, right, to mitzvos and Torah, is of benefit, but ignorant people who ignore it, they've got to be affected negatively. Lot settled in the greatest denizen of sin, and he almost lost his wife. Life. He lost his wife. But he almost got to meet his maker. The angel, right, who destroyed the city, told Lot to go to the mountain where Avraham Avinu lived. But he was afraid. He said, I can't do that. When I lived with these people, right, maybe I was better. Avraham Avinu's piety is going to dwarf me, right? And I'll be considered a Rasha. Therefore, he went to Tzoar. He said, its sins were fewer than Sodom, because the people haven't been there. Apparently, it was the last populated city, right? Lot and his daughters went there, but they didn't remain there. It says, Lot was afraid of staying in a city, because he saw what happened to the other cities, right? Which is an interesting thing. He's told by angels to go there. They save him, but he was obviously in an agitated state.
He didn't believe them.
Well, I don't know.
He didn't believe them. He thought all the cities were going to be destroyed.
So
he went to a cave.
So he went up with a cave with his two daughters, and it says, had he listened, he would have been spared from what happened thereafter. Lot was destined to have descendants who would be great. Ruth, a Moavi, who married Boaz, would come from him. And Nama, who would marry King Shlomo and become the king, will become the mother of the next king, Rehoboam. Light's daughters survived the annihilation of Stoim so that they could be mothers to these great people. It says, both daughters were righteous. They had learned from Avram Avinu to love the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And somehow, Lloyd's daughters had the belief that the overturning of Stone was a second debacle, like the Mabul. And therefore, they and their fathers were the only ones left on the earth. The question then becomes, and I don't have an answer, what did they think? Lot was saved and Avram Avinu perished in the flood? So, I mean, I can't answer that one. And they realized that if they were, in fact, the only inhabitants left, the only way they could have another generation was to live with their father. It says that they had no ill intent whatsoever. All they were trying to do, based on the limited knowledge they had, was to repopulate the world. But, so they weren't guilty. It says Lot himself was a scoundrel. It says he had a premonition for incest. And because he had that, God let him succumb.
That's why he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why he didn't go over there anyway.
So, what they did, right? They got him drunk, and he had relations with one and then the other. And the children born, each had a son. One was called Moav, born of my father, and the younger daughter, a little more modestly, called him Ben-Ami, son of my people. The younger daughter, it says, the Torah, he commanded the people of Ammon, right, of the younger daughter, should not be attacked by Bnei Yisroel. Moav, the older, right, were allowed by Hashem. Hashem allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to go into open battle with them. There's an amazing story told, and I think Rav Moshe Feinstein, I was told, I think, by the Rav and others, that Rav Moshe Feinstein records this story. This is not a beautiful story, right? But yet we know that from Lot somehow eventually comes David HaMelech and Moshiach. So we'll take a, we're not going to try to explain that concept of the bribe for the Satan. But we're told that at some time, and I don't know when it was, some person was learning this parsha, and he said that the daughters of Lot were impotent, impudent. In other words, they didn't have proper respect because they basically announced to the world, this is the son of my father, this is the son of my nation, meaning they were telling everybody that their kids were as a result of incest with their father. And he went on to say,
Except there was no, according to them, there was nobody else.
Well, hold on, I'm going to keep continue going. So, right? And he seemed to go on saying, he criticized them, it says, for he criticized them for their actions. And I think I may be getting it a little bit wrong, but the moral is right. The next day, he had a tremendous problem with his lips and mouth. Basically out of control, like he, some kind of palsy or whatever.
Bill's palsy.
Whatever. Anyway, and he came to a Rav, and a Rav said to him, I guess somehow he knew, he said, what you did was totally inappropriate. He says, let me tell you something. He said that the two daughters of Lot were, let's say, correct in what they did based on their knowledge. And why, pray tell, would they name their children directly? Because they wanted to avoid the possibility that later generations would say they had an immaculate conception and that these boys were some type of god. We know the other one who came later in history, Yashka. They didn't want to spawn a Yashka. And I think Rav Moshe Feinstein writes this. And I think he says that actually the two daughters of Lot came to this person who had spoken the Lashon Hara on them and told him, in effect, that's why he was being punished. I don't know if he was ever cured. I don't,
question.
Whatever. But, you know, so like, normally, as Zarov said, one would think that this story is, you know, it's a nice story. But he said, it's written in a sefer by Rav Moshe Feinstein that he has a Kabbalah that it really did happen. I don't know where, but.
Well.
So we see that Lot's daughters, you know, as this Medrash said, acted with the best of intentions when they were there.
But not Lot.
No.
Because Lot, they say that Lot, after sleeping with his first daughter.
He should have known better.
Rick, no, he knew what happened.
And he still got drunk night. The second day,
and
too.
And he got drunk the second time as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So Lot, this Lot was not a wonderful guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I don't think Lot appears anymore in the Chumash. This is, I think, the end of whatever the Chumash tells us about him. Once this happened, and I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what we know that Avram looked and saw the burning, I think it says that in the Chumash.
It's like the smoke that came from
right.
Canada right. yeah. a couple of years ago.
Yeah. It says, after this, Avram changed where he was living. He moved from Hebron to the Philistine city of Gerar. Why did he leave? It says, on the one hand, Avram was embarrassed to stay there because the people who were still around said, oh, look, Lot escaped with his daughters, and here's what happened. Not the finest of stories that Avram want to hear about, right? And Avram also was dedicated, we know, to Chesed. And once this eruption of cities and I guess smoldering air and et cetera occurred, this was no longer the desired travel route of people, and so he went elsewhere where he could do his avodas Hashem, he could do his achnasas orchim. Avram went to Gerar. Right? It says he knew that the surrounding people, the Philistines, were not wonderful human beings. And he realized again that Sora could be at risk, right? I mean, here's this 90-year-old woman who's the most attractive woman in the world. And again, he had Sora called his sister.
It worked the first time. Let's try again.
But again, the king of the country, Avimelech, arrested her and taken to the palace. Once she was in the palace, she said, "Your lordship, or king, I'm a married woman." It said Avimelech didn't really care. His morals were not of that level. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Malach Michoel to keep him away from Sora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him in a dream, and he said, "The woman with you is married, and according to the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, your time's up, because adultery is punishable by death." And Avimelech said, "No, I'm innocent. You know, I didn't know." But he said, "She told you. But first she told me with a brother." Right? He says, "I took her to my hands. I was innocent when I took her." Hashem said, "Yes, originally you weren't informed. However, you don't have any innocence, because when she told you, it was your duty to restore her. Your claim of any righteousness is totally unjustified, because had I not sent a malach, you would have obviously molested her. Moreover, the very fact that you kidnapped her is enough." That's another of the noyach. Seven mitzvot b'nei Noach, because the robbery is kidnapping.
Can steal a person.
Right. So now Avimelech says, "Oh boy, I got a problem." He says, "If I return her now to Avram, Avram's going to believe I tainted her." And Hashem said, "No, Avram Avinu is a Navi, and he knows what really happens. Ask him to forgive you and pray for you, or else I'm going to kill you." It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu hit all the men and women in his court with a plague that precluded them from any ability to sire children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed all the openings in their bodies. Even their ears and noses were blocked. And even the animals in the yard, even the hens ceased to lay eggs. And Avimelech's household was totally in a panic-stricken mode. Avimelech called Avram, and he said, You brought this on me. I mean, why didn't you tell me she was your wife?" "Don't you know," he said, "that I'm not as bad as the Egyptians? Like, we have a better standard of morality." I don't know how much better it could have been. And Avram said, "You are not God-fearing. And I was under the impression that if you wouldn't commit incest, you would have killed me, and then you would have made her basically a widow." It says that someone who lacks fear of heaven will eventually not refrain from doing sins. Avram said to him, "A stranger comes to a city, and you first ask him, 'This gorgeous woman with you, is she available?' He says, 'That's what you ask somebody?'" Right? And he said as well, the relationship Sarah and I have before we were married is one akin to brother and sister. I don't know if she may have been a niece or something of that nature.
It said that she was a daughter of Avram's father, but not the daughter
of her mother.
Avram's mother.
Yeah.
Avimelech attempted to appease Avram, giving him cattle, gold, silver. And he also gave his daughter as a maid, doing what Pharaoh had done with Hagar. He said to Sarah, I've given Avram 1,000 dinar of gold, that you can buy yourself golden, pristine garments. People will know you're a woman of nobility and won't touch you. But then he said something that everybody says. He made a comment, you should have a covering for your eyes, which was basically a curse that any son she has, meaning Yitzchak, should eventually be blinded. And we know, in fact, it happened. Avram forgave Avimelech and daven to Hashem that everyone should be healed. And it says, everyone knew the emperor would never refuse a favor of the protege. So whenever somebody wanted somebody, they went to the protege. Could you intervene for me? There was one only, everybody then became a duke or whatever. Only the protege remained a commoner. And it says, the people said, this gentleman was the means to our elevations. Should he not at least be elevated to our level? Hashem said, you daven for Avimelech and his household. Now is the time that you too have got to be able to have children. And the very next thing we will learn in the Parsha is the birth of Yitzchak.